Believe is something different than what the world calls believe. This world calls believe knowing about. Yes, I believe that happened. Yes, I believe that that's true. Believe in the biblical sense means to trust in, to adhere to grab a hold of in a strong way and not let go of. Amen. It does not mean just to know about. To only believe is a step deeper. And as I ask people in the church, what is it that we need to do? You know what I get to hear sometimes as the answer? Well, we just need to have more faith. And I always turn that question right back around. Well, what's faith? What's faith? And from today's passage in Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 13, I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter, which is verse 25. And I want you to listen to what faith is. Starting in verse 13 of Romans chapter 4. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and promise is worthless. Because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. And God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. You got it now, don't you? You can define faith for me after reading that passage, can't you? It's real easy. It's right there in Paul's words. I want to admit to you that as Paul writes his letter to the Romans, it is one of the hardest pieces of Scripture to grab a hold of and understand in a deep way. Because Paul starts talking about one thing, and as he talks about one thing, he drifts over here and says, oh, I need to talk to you about this, and then he comes back and says, let me finish this up, and no, there's another piece to this, and it's back and forth and back and forth, and Paul makes it very hard to understand what he's talking about sometimes. So I want to simplify this for you. And I want to help you to see what Paul's talking about here when he talks about the faith of Abraham. Abraham was before the law. Abraham was before Moses. The commandments and the laws had not been established yet. They had not been written down. But God brings a promise to Abraham. And he tells him, you will be the father of many nations. And Paul goes on to say that we have Abraham as our father. We have Abraham as our father. Now, you may think he's talking only to Jews, but he's not. He's talking to Gentiles. Abraham is also our father. We are a descendant of Abraham. And what God did was God established commandments to follow and has made promises to humanity. God has established commandments and has made promises to humanity. Now let's talk about these two things, because sometimes I think the majority of the people in the world get this idea about commandments. Commandments are God said you do this, therefore you have to, and you probably won't have any fun while you do it. Okay? That is a general definition of the commandments by this world. Okay? Because God said you're not going to do it. Parents. Why do I have to do it that way? And what do parents say? Because I said so. There's no backing behind it. There's no, I said you're going to do that, so you are going to do that. No ifs, ands, or buts. And we get that same idea about God's commandments. God says this is what you will do, whether you want to or not, whether you like it or not. We talked about in Principles of Faith this morning. Commandments were set up kind of as a boundary, is what I think of them as. They are a boundary, and God says, if you cross over this boundary, you and possibly someone else will be hurt. Therefore, it's a good idea to stay within this boundary. Okay? We get the idea the commandments are, do I have to? And God says, if you want a successful, a promising, a good life, a prosperous life, you'll live within the boundaries of the commandments that I give you. They're not burdensome, Scripture talks about. We see them as burdensome, don't we? Oh, do I have to? Why do I have to do that? God has also made promises to humanity. And one of the promises that he made to Abraham is he told Abraham, you will have a child. How many of you at 100 years old would sign up to have another child? How many of you ladies at age 90 would sign up to be pregnant again and have another child? This is the promise that has come to them. And God has made this promise to them that this will happen. Well, in order for the commandments to be a successful path of life for us, and in order for promises to work out that God established, faith is necessary if both of these things are going to be realized in our lives. Faith is necessary. We got to a point this morning down in Principles of Faith that nobody wanted to say another word, because I kept asking him, what's the definition of that word you just used? And one of the words I asked them to find was hope. What's hope? Yeah, I know. You know what it is, right? You know what hope is, but can you define it? I'm going to ask you the same thing about faith. You know what faith is, right? Can you define it? Can you tell me what it means? One of the things I think is necessary as we study the Bible, you need to have a dictionary with you. Because some of these words, yeah, we know what they mean, right? And we know how to use them in a sentence. But what's faith? And the reason I want to emphasize this is because when people tell me, well, Pastor, we just need to have more faith, I ask them, what are you saying you need to have more of? And they just look at me like, well, you know, faith. And I'm like, no, what are you saying we need more of? Without faith, these promises that God made and the commandments that God made, without faith, they won't be realized in our lives. That is necessary and important. Now let me start to define faith for you, because Paul defines it in this passage, and you heard it, and so I could stop right here, and I don't need to preach anymore, because you heard what Paul said about faith, right? So you could define it, I don't need to. But I'm just going to make it easy for you, okay? Faith must contain two parts. It must contain two parts. The first part I'm going to call is a belief part. And the second part is an action part. A belief part and an action part. Now, what did I tell you believe was? To adhere to trust in, to know for sure that that's going to happen. Faith, I've got to have the faith that says, I know that when God says something, that's going to happen. It is going to happen. In spite of the fact that I might not be able to see how it can happen. Okay? Faith is the assurance in the book of Hebrews of things not seen, but things yet hoped for. Hope being an expectant desire that it's going to happen. Okay? That's what hope is. An expectant desire. Hope is not wishful thinking when we talk about it from the Bible, which is how our world often uses the word hope. Wishful thinking. I wish that that would come about. I hope that that will happen. When we talk about hope in the Bible, we're talking about, I know it's going to happen. That belief part is necessary. You see, God came to Abraham and God told him, you're going to have a child at almost 100 years of age. And your wife, who is over 90, is going to have a child. By the way, if you go back and study this in the book of Genesis, when the angels come to tell Abraham this, Sarah's back at the tent, but she's listening in. I was going to say she's eavesdropping, but I don't want to characterize her as eavesdropping, okay? She's listening in to what the angels are saying, and the angels tell Abraham, God says, when we come this time, next year, you're going to have a child. Do you know what Sarah does back at the tent? She laughs. She's like, you have got to be ridiculous. Do you know how old I am and I'm going to have a child? I'm past childbearing ages. No, it's not going to happen. By the way, what do they call their child? Isaac. Can anybody translate from the Hebrew what Isaac means? Laughter. How'd you love to have a child growing up? Hey, laughter, supper time. He gets named because his mother laughs at what the angel says is going to happen. You see, there has to be a belief that it's going to happen. There has to be a belief that it's going to happen. There has to be a trust in what God has said is going to happen. That promise is going to come true. I'm sure Abraham and Sarah talked about it quite a bit. I'm sure that they did. I can't believe that this is what has been said. Here's what I'm going to tell you, though. For this belief part, sometimes rational thought has to be set aside for the belief part. Sometimes rational thought has to be set aside for the belief part. So you see, just biologically, using my intelligence and my reasoning, there's no way for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. Not possible. Will you agree with me? At 100 years old and 90 years old? Not only is it not possible, but most people at that age don't want to sign up to have another child. That means you'll be 22 before they graduate from college, or you'll be 122 before they graduate from college. Is that what you want? You'll still be working at 115 so you can pay for college. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? Just biologically, my brain says, this can't happen. This also happened for many people around me as I made a commitment to go into ministry. You've got three young children, ages 7 and under. And you're going to quit a good job, you're going to sell a good house, and you're going to go off and be a minister. Now, would you say rationally and logically that doesn't make a whole lot of sense? What do you mean you're going to work a part-time job and support your family? We did that for 3 years. Deanne stayed at home to take care of the kids, and I worked a part-time job while I was going to school my first 3 years. So we've got tuition, and I'm only making $15,000 a year. What does reason say to you in that situation?
God is good.
God is good. Thank you. You see, sometimes rational thought has to be set aside. Because what God said is going to happen doesn't make rational sense. I can honestly tell you that as my kids grew up, they never went without a single thing. Never. There was always food on the table. The bills were always paid. Matter of fact, I got more scholarships, grants, and loans to go to college, to go to seminary, than what I needed to pay for seminary. So I tried to give the money back so they could give it to somebody else, and they said, no, you can't do that. So that money was for food on the table. That money was for paying for bills. Everything was paid over and above and beyond. And the exciting thing was, after being a Baptist minister for 5 years, all the ones that were loans were forgiven. I never had to pay a dime back of anything for 4 years of tuition. Not a dime. Now, rationally, that doesn't work out, does it? We don't see that happening for many. There had to be a belief part on Deanne and I's part to say, yes, this is what God said, and this is what's going to happen. Now, the second part that had to happen, though, once that belief happens, the belief has to happen first. But once that belief happens, then action must also happen for faith to be complete. Action must also happen for faith to be complete. Just having the belief is not going to get you there. Just saying, well, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to set that aside because God's going to work this out. By the way, here's where I'm going to add into this. Many people have told me, well, God helps those who help themselves. I hope you realize that's not from the Bible. There is no scripture that says that. That's what I'm going to call almost Bible. Okay? Almost Bible. Just like three wise men, that's almost Bible. Go back and read that. It never says three wise men. Some of you ladies are going to come to me afterwards and say, I know why it doesn't say three wise men, because there's no such thing as wise men. It says they had three gifts. It doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. I think there were a lot more than three because I think wise men are possible. But maybe I'm a little biased on that. You can speak to me at the front door about that if you want to. You see, action has to happen. If I don't take action, God can't carry through on God's part. If I don't say, God, I believe that you said this, and I believe that you're going to take care of my family, if I don't produce an action that shows my belief, God can't carry out God's promises. I meet too many Christians that say once God puts everything in order and everything in place and everything right, then I'll take a step. While God is in heaven saying, if you'll take a step, I'll start doing. You see, faith requires a belief part, and faith requires an action part. Both have to happen for faith to be real in your life. Both have to happen for the commandments of God to be successful for you. You've got to believe that this is what God says we need to be about. And then you've got to take steps to do it for your prosperous and successful life to happen because you lived God's commands. Sometimes we treat the promises of God as, well, God said so, God has to do it. Do you realize that many of the promises say, if you'll do this, God says, I'll do this. Many of them start with an if. If you follow my ways and you live the way that I ask you to live, then I will do this, God says. By the way, that's not a formula either. It's not, God, I did this, so you have to. God can still say, nope, not yet, not now, not ever. Maybe there's something else planned. Because what I've learned many times is I'm going to say, God, I did the if part, now you got to do the then part. And the then part I thought worked out this way. Guess what? God had another way to work out the then part. So I'm disappointed because the then part didn't work out the way I thought about. Let's go back. What did I say? Sometimes the rational thought has to be put off to the side for faith to work. I mean, who would believe? I wish Rick was still here. Rick told me that yesterday he was eating at the barbecue place here on Main Street, just down from his house. And if you haven't eaten there, I'll just recommend it. And I happened to run by yesterday while I was there, and he was talking to one of the waitresses in there who's been trying to get her to come to church here. And I happened to run by while he was there talking to her. And he said, do you see that guy? She said, yeah. She said, I think he's a hippie. And Rick said, that's my preacher. She said, really? Now, I'll give it to her because yesterday I wasn't wearing a hat when I was running. I was wearing a do-rag to keep the sweat out of my eyes. So I'll give it to her. I'll just be honest with you guys. I've never been a hippie. I was 10 years too late, born too late. Didn't have a chance. One lady looked at my picture with long hair and she said, oh my gosh, that's a hippie. I bet you were at Woodstock. And I said, no, ma'am, I was only 8 and my mom wouldn't let me go. If she had let me go, I probably would have gone with my uncle who's 9 years older than me, and I bet the two of us would have had a great time. You see, sometimes you got to suspend belief. Because who would have thought a long-haired hippie freak in the 70s would be your pastor today? Who'd have thought that? Who'd have thought that an alcoholic would be your pastor today? Did anybody think that would happen? Sometimes you have to suspend belief because God works in tremendous ways. One, you've got to have the belief. You've got to trust in. You've got to adhere to. You've got to know that it's going to happen. Second, you've got to take some action. You've got to take some action and decide. Am I going to take a step? Because you can't just sit there in the pew and say, God, when you put everything in order, I'll take a step. Because God's in heaven going, when you take a step, I will start putting things in order. But until you take a step, it's not going to happen. Faith. Do you have faith? Now that you know what it is, do you have faith? Do you have a belief? And do you have a readiness for action that's going to trust in what God has said to you, and you're going to take action on it, even if it doesn't make sense? Even if it doesn't make sense. Does your faith contain both belief and action? So if I ask again, what are we going to do? And you tell me we need more faith. I'm going to ask you, which part of faith do you need? The belief part or the action part? Are you taking action on what you believe about God and what God has said to you? Abraham and Sarah had to take action for that promise to be realized. Could not be realized without them taking action. What about you?